Hey guys, this is Gail Kim from Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to the 8-Bit Suplex Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special 25th episode of the 8-Bit Suplex here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. They said it couldn't be done. They said Impact Wrestling Podcasts, those don't last more than two episodes. That's right, Caleb. I'm calling you out on that again. But in any event, I'm joined tonight on this special occasion by the man, the myth, the legend, the Danimal, Dan Coffin. Dan, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Josh. It's Friday night. You know, we had the Impact show last night. Got Under Siege coming up. It's exciting.
Very exciting. Very exciting. I'm excited about Under Siege. We're going to preview that card. We're going to talk, of course, about Impact from last night. Before that, though, Dan, I know we talked to you recently about what you were playing. What are you playing to this? Like, if you were to pick up the game right now, what are you going back to right now to start playing?
The only game I played this week is an app where it's like a ball breaker app. Like, you have a bunch of bricks and you break them. You know, yeah, it's been a busy week. I haven't had much time for any gaming. So I'm still stuck on the same part of Doom that I got stuck on last week. So
I got you. Yeah. Hey, listen, we've all been a part of, you know, we've all been a part of those before. Those weeks are tough, and you just sit there and you know what? My phone's in my hand. I'm okay. I'm just going to play this. I've had those weeks, but this week I actually wrapped up playing through the PS4 classic God of War, which of course is the kind of reboot, kind of resetting for the God of War series in the, nice. Viking God realms. Really fun game. I at this point, I'm sure if you're going to play it, you've already played it. But if you haven't, I definitely recommend playing it. A lot of fun. Pretty short game. I played through it. I don't have a whole lot of gaming time. I got through it in about a week and a half or so. And I needed to finish it up because I did have the pre-order of Resident Evil Village download to my PS5, Dan. I'm excited about that one. I'll talk more about that probably next week as I get to play it some. Hopefully I get to play it some. It's not one for the children's. So
the only thing I know about it is there's a very tall, scary lady.
Yeah, Lady Dimitrescu is the name of that character. And I've only seen the trailer and seen her. And I know that there's a lot of internet lust over Lady Dimitrescu and her like seemingly 9-foot curvaceous body. So, but you know, people are like that, Dan. People
Keep
are like
PG.
That. Hey, listen, I marked this show expletive, Dan, so we could say whatever the fuck we want. Like, so that was that felt forced, and I feel dirty about it. But you know, it is what it is. But before we get into the show proper, we are going to do our second edition of our new segment called Omega Watch. And that is the part of the show where we talk about what Kenny Omega, the Impact World Champion, did this week on television outside of Impact Wrestling. And Dan, I didn't get a chance to catch Dynamite this week, but I know you did. Did we see our friend Kenny Omega on Dynamite this week?
He did come out for a short bit during the Orange Cassidy Pac match for the number one contendership. That match was going on. It didn't follow the script. Apparently Orange Cassidy got hurt during it, so they had to cut the match short. From what I read, it was actually supposed to be a time limit draw. Either way, it set up the same thing in the end. But what they did was they had Don Callis come out and start to interrupt, and then Kenny came out and interrupted and knocked Pac in the head. I remember I knocked him in the back of the head with the title belt. And then what they did was they say, well, since there was no official winner this week, you know, you're both going to be in the championship match. Now, I don't think they've said whether that title match is going to be a three-way dance or like a triple threat.
Right.
everybody I've talked to would rather see the three-way dance where two of them face off and then, you know, the winner of that faces the probably a champion. But who knows? But yeah, he was there.
Well, yeah, it's not a great appearance for him, I'm sure. And they, you know, best wishes to Orange Cassidy. Hopefully he's feeling better, gets cleared in time for that title match, Double or Nothing. Right. So now that the Omega Watch has ended, I'm workshopping that phrase, Dan. We'll see how that goes. We are going to talk about the Impact Wrestling from May 13th, which is yesterday. If you're listening to this on Friday, late Friday, when this episode of the 8-Bit Suplex will drop, we're going to kind of blow through the results here, and we'll talk about some noteworthy things. It's not the strongest go home show that Impact's had as terms of moving stories along. Most of the card was already built for Under Siege. They did add a couple more matches, which we'll get into when we do the preview of Under Siege. So we'll just kind of run through kind of what happened. The show kicks off with the Impact Knockouts title number one contendership match between Havoc and Rosemary. You know, I like both of these women, Dan, but you know, it was a match that felt like it got a little long in the teeth, a lot of striking, and neither one of them are great strikers. Of course, ends with Havoc giving the old pile driver to Rosemary. And I'll say this about Havoc, her pile drivers look like they are pretty painful. And then, of course, because this is what we do in wrestling, the champion, Deonna Purrazzo, runs out to try and get the jump on Havoc, winds up not working. Her goons come out to try and help, but Decay, of course, which is Black Taurus and Crazy Steve, are standing on the ramp, and Kimberly and Susan are unable to assist her as she gets beaten up and pile driven by Havoc. So Havoc will face Deonna Purrazzo at Under Siege, which we'll get into in a little bit. Dan, you a fan of Havoc's pile drivers?
I'm a fan of pile drivers in general. I mean, like you said, hers is pretty good for somebody who probably you wouldn't expect to have a really good pile driver.
Yeah,
she should know how to do a pile driver since everyone in Impact gives pile drivers to everyone else. Like, you know, they should like all pile be drivers, giving each other tips.
If you like pile drivers, Impact Wrestling is the place for you. That's right. For sure. The next match is my match of the night, which is the Impact X Division Number One Contendership 6-Way Scramble match between El Fantasmo, Ace Austin, AC Romero, Petey Williams, and Rohit Raju, and of course, he who should not be named. So that's our new thing on the show. We don't mention that guy, his name. So really fun match here. And Dan, you actually saw this spot before I did. Why don't you tell the people a little bit about the gift that broke the internet?
So El Fantasmo, he has a move that he does a lot, especially in New Japan, that he busted out. This was kind of like this was a double shot. It seemed like it went on longer than usually does, but you know, he did got up and had a hold of his arm and walked, you know, tight roped down the top of the rope there, went to the corner. I think he went around, you know, he went two lengths, I believe, of the ropes. Yes. Mm-hmm. The entire time he's holding up, you know, he's doing his little side dance like he does. And then he got to the end, and Ace Austin was up on the top, and he picked him up, and they flipped into the crowd standing at the end of the ramp.
Yeah, Impact. The Impact official Twitter account described it as a Death Valley driver to the floor, which makes it sound way worse than it actually was.
Yeah, because... I don't know if it was technically a Death Valley driver, but
no, it was definitely a fireman toss into a group of people. but it was definitely a pretty cool move. I really enjoyed this spot, but of course, it did unleash the fans of the Undertaker, who apparently are on Twitter. I did not know that that was a cross-section demographic of people that existed. They decided to take umbrage with the fact that, you know, he went too far on the ropes and, you know, whatever, right? I don't know. People complain about things all the time, Dan. It doesn't make it make sense.
Yeah, I saw a lot of it was very polarizing on the internet, as most things are that are interesting, right?
Right, exactly. And equally polarizing is that El Fantasmo does pick up the win. He actually winds up pinning the Canadian Destroyer himself, Petey Williams. Fun match, good match. Definitely watch it if you're going to watch any of the matches from this night. I would say go and watch that one. The next match is Willie Mack comes out against an enhancement talent named Sam Beal. He beats Sam Beal around for about 3 minutes and picks up the win. And then W. Morrissey comes out, stands tall. You know how the spiel goes. It's a go-home show.
We've seen this before.
Yeah, exactly. Anything you want to add about Sam Beal, your favorite wrestler, Dan?
You know, I'm waiting to get my Sam Beal shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees. But other than that, no, I don't have much to say.
I actually don't think he has one. But that's to say, Sam Beal, go get yourself a T-shirt. And yeah. You know what? I'll buy one, Sam Beal, if you have one. I'm looking it up right now.
Riveting.
The natural Sam Beal has 6 T-shirt designs.
See?
Shit.
When you said you'd buy a T-shirt, did you say a T-shirt or your T-shirts, like all of them?
I did say a T-shirt. So I'll probably just add the 8-bit suplex T-shirt to my closet for a second time, or it's a great opportunity to plug the new Social Suplex Podcast Network shirt, Olds on Top. That is a great T-shirt that you should go buy and support the Olds, because the Olds need it, right, Dan?
Well, I have a nit to pick with that, because I don't think the Olds need your help, because the Olds are on top. That's how they get on top. They stay on top.
Yeah,
they help each other.
I am not going to argue with that, Dan.
How often do Olds help you out? They don't.
They don't. Why are we? You know what? Help us then by buying the Olds on Top T-shirt. That's how you should do it. There you go. That's how we should word that. Great dismount. Professional podcasting at its best, Dan.
Yep.
So I do want to call out. There was a Swingers Palace episode that leads into a match that gets made. We'll talk about that match when we get to the Under Siege preview. But he who should not be named decides to team up with Petey Williams, and he asked Petey Williams, Dan, what the odds were of them winning. And Petey Williams says, "I don't know what the odds are, but I know someone who does." So he walks off screen, and I'm thinking, there's zero chance that Scott Steiner comes out and does Steiner Mouth. And I was right. Even though the music hits with the siren, it's Petey Williams in the Scott Steiner, kind of mithril helm looking, whatever it is.
Cosplay wrestler.
Yeah. Doesn't that headpiece always remind you of the mithril shirt that Frodo wears in Lord of the Rings? It just looks like that to me. It just does.
I've seen a lot of fantasy type shows. I've seen a lot of chain mail.
I gotcha.
I don't have a specific one I go to, when someone asks me about chain mail, like which one I choose.
Every time I see it, Dan, I just go, it's mithril, just like Gimli does.
No, the irony is when I see that in a movie, I think of Scott Steiner. So,
well, it's, I don't know, whatever. Moving on. Singles match between David Finlay and Carl Anderson, continuing to build up the 6-man tag match. It's Under Siege. David Finlay, though, this time is accompanied to the ring by Eddie Edwards. Got tired of getting beat down one by one, I guess, by the heel team of the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega. And it winds up that David Finlay gets the win. There's a DQ. There's all kinds of chicanery, but Eddie Edwards helps them stand tall because he has a kendo stick. And we all see what Eddie Edwards can do with a kendo stick. You can hit people with it, Dan. That's where that was going.
Sorry.
That's all right. Brian Myers and Crazy Steve have a wrestling match that goes 2 minutes, 44 seconds. Brian Myers gets the win by doing a feet on the rope pin. Not much to say about it. It's kind of leading to that Black Taurus Brian Myers match. Like I said, there was really not a lot on this episode of Impact to really get you moving along and excited. It's kind of just waiting for Under Siege to be over. Not over in that sense, but they really want to get to this card. and so do we, kind of, because that's the where we want to get to. But we do have one more match to talk about briefly, and that's the six-man tag team match between basically the babyfaces and the heels of the six-man number one contender match at Under Siege. We have Chris Bay, Moose, and Sami Callihan defeating the team of Chris Sabin, Matt Cardona, and Trey Miguel. Sami Callihan picks up the pin. Match goes 11 minutes, 11 seconds. And this is a pretty good match. It's not as good as the X Division title match, I don't think. But a lot of Moose action. And then Sami, of course, you know, kind of gets in at the end and kind of picks up the victory. Really fun. It's hard to say a lot of times which direction wrestling companies will go with the go-home results versus the pay-per-view results. I don't think Sami Callihan's going to win Saturday. He's probably one of two guys I don't think that are going to win, Matt Cardona being the other one, but we'll get into that later in the preview. But they give Sami the win here, kind of keeps him looking a little tough, keeping him a little strong. But that was Impact Wrestling for this week. It's odd to have Kenny Omega on Impact Wrestling and not in the main event spot. I don't know. We'll see what happens Saturday. I think that the six-man tag match with Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus Finn Juice and Eddie Edwards will main event. It should main event, but they could also main event with that number one contenders match. Who knows? Any thoughts, Dan, before we head to preview Under Siege?
It was just kind of a real mediocre show for go-home show. You think they would have put a little more into it, but, you know, I guess, like you said, they're looking down the road.
So. Yeah, I mean, the stories are all in place for Under Siege already. At some point, you start your build to Slammiversary. That's got to be happening soon. Under Siege will probably lead to that, even though they do have the additional show prior to that, which is called Against All Odds, which, of course, you know, kind of shares that same Double or Nothing theme. So we'll see how that kind of plays out there. Maybe we'll get to see some more AEW talent shared. But I'm enjoying so far the use of New Japan Pro Wrestling and Impact for the stateside guys. Dan, you're a big New Japan guy. Are you enjoying seeing these guys kind of mix it up with the Impact superstars?
I do. Obviously we're all about opening the forbidden door to see just like new matchups and see, you know, things we haven't seen before necessarily. These guys from New Japan, over in New Japan, like if these guys are stuck in LA or whatever, there's not a big roster to choose from. So they're kind of wrestling, you know, the same, you know, it's kind of like Monday Night Raw. They're all wrestling the same people every week, but
except they actually have a small roster and not the world's largest roster.
Right. And it's not 3 hours. It's, you know, one right on strong. Just seeing all the different guys, you know, this gives the guys from New Japan, you know, they can get out and like stretch their legs a little bit, you know, and mix it up and get some different experiences. It's kind of like a mini excursion. They're kind of taking advantage of it like that. So and it gives the fans a lot of things to see. So it's good.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, I'm sure at some point those guys will all be able to reunite with the rest of their, you know, factions and different things over there. And, you know, Bullet Club will be whole at some point. But, you know, we'll enjoy having El Phantasmo around. But without further ado, we'll jump right in now to the preview for Under Siege. Under Siege is our monthly Impact Plus special for the month of May. It's a pretty loaded card, Dan. If I had to count the matches, which I'm doing right now.
I think there's like nine.
There is nine matches. So, good research out of you. Bad research out of me. but that's okay. We're professionals at this. That's why people keep tuning in, Dan. Let's get started with the Impact Tag Title number one contenders match. This is a match that is made after the fallout of the number one contenders match for the X Division Championship. They basically are recycling all of those guys and bringing them back through for the tag title number one contenders match. All of this went down on Swingers Palace, and some really weird stuff happens on that. I don't like it. It's very strange. And I, you know, I, guys, find something else for Alicia Edwards to do and not just be the stereotypical, you know, thing for Johnny Swinger to comment on. I don't like that. Just stop. It's not okay. Anyways, number one tag title contenders match. We have the teams of Ace Austin and Madman Fulton, He Who Should Not Be Named and Petey Williams, Triple XL, and Rohit Raju with Shira. I think we could see any one of these teams win, Dan. But I want to hear your thoughts on this match first.
Yeah, we got some pretty talented guys in this match. We got Ace Austin and Madman Fulton are probably my pick for this. I think the other teams are, well, two of those other teams just seem kind of thrown together a little bit last minute to me. And then I don't know if Triple XL is ready yet to make it up there. So I feel like Ace and Madman this time.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you there. I might go Rohit Raju, friend of the podcast, and Shira.
My man!
Thank you for filling in for Sandy with throwing out my man there.
Yeah, I got
you. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think you're right. If I'm looking at this too, because I want to think about who do I want to see Finjuice wrestle, because they're the current champs. I have to think that Ace Austin and Madman Fulton is probably the best matchup.
I agree.
Other than that, I think the team of Petey Williams and He Who Should Not Be Named would be a fun match with Finjuice, but they don't really make a whole lot of sense here as a tag team, you know. Just
no, you know, as much as I love, they're probably going to break up pretty quick and fight each other.
Yeah, and Petey Williams will probably eat another pin because that seems to be what he's come back to do. But, you know, we'll see.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Happens. I think it's going to be a fun match. AC and Larry will get their spots in. They'll be really good spots. I don't know what a Finjuice versus Triple XL match looks like.
Right.
It could be fun, but is that your, like, your either, you know, against all odds or your probably your Slammiversary tag team title match?
Right. I think it'd be a, I don't know. Maybe it, sometimes weird stuff like that brings out greatness. But like you said, it's hard to imagine that it would be a great match between Triple XL and Finjuice. Finjuice and Finlay don't ever wrestle guys of that size over in New Japan.
They don't.
Totally different size, style, and everything. But like I said, you know, you could be pleasantly surprised if it happens. I'll definitely watch if it does.
Well, yeah, we're watching either way because that's what we do around these parts. But... yeah, and then so we'll move right along then. I think we're on the same page there. We will talk about now the match between the most professional wrestler, Brian Myers, and Black Taurus, accompanied to the ring by his Decay counterparts, Crazy Steve and Rosemary. They left Black Taurus standing tall on last night's show. I don't really have a pick on this one. If I had to guess, I guess I would go with Black Taurus because he has the additional help in his corner. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go Black Taurus here, Dan.
I'll go Brian Myers just to be semi-interesting.
There you go.
He's on a run now. I think he's going to keep going.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. Moving right along, we have this match is made as a part of a backstage segment with Scott D'Amore on last night's show. Susan complains that her match with Taylor Wilde was lost because of Tennille Dashwood cheating. And Scott agrees and says, what do you want? And she says she wants a tag match between her and Kimberly against Taylor Wilde and Tennille Dashwood, much to the pains of Taylor Wilde, who wants nothing to do with Tennille Dashwood. I'm going to say Kimberly and Susan will win. I'm going to say Tennille cost them the match, and Taylor and Tennille will have a blow off at Against All Odds.
I really don't have a whole lot of opinion about this. This is like my least anticipated match on the card. This could be a pre-show match for me. But I will say, just for the sake of saying it, I will pick Kimberly takes the pin from Tennille.
Okay. All right. That's a pick. Now, now we come to the Big E special, Dan, which is the, big men's mac and meat or whatever it is that he says. I always say that every time I say it, it feels more sexual than when he says it. And he says it very sexually. But we have W. Morrissey taking on Willie Mack. Both guys beat the piss out of Sam Beal last couple of weeks. W. Morrissey, the point has been made that he is not a part of Violent by Design despite teaming up with them at Rebellion. So we'll see what happens between these two guys. I think W. Morrissey picks up the win, and I hate saying it, Dan, because Willie Mack has lost a lot on pay-per-view lately. But man, I just don't see him picking up, especially since they just pulled W. Morrissey in off the street. I don't see him losing to Willie Mack.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. They don't want to kill Morrissey's heat right away. Number one. And then on the other side, just like you said, Willie Mack looks like he eats a lot, but the most thing he eats is pins.
Yeah. He's been eating, unfortunately, a lot of those.
He's just kind of stuck in second gear, and Morrissey's going to get pushed a lot harder. So I think it's pretty obvious.
Yep. No, I agree with that. Knockouts tag team title match, Dan. Jordynne Grace and Rachel Ellering defending against Fire and Flava, who are, of course, Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz. Tasha Steelz picked up a victory over Jordynne Grace on Before the Impact. If you've not caught Before the Impact, it's literally the matches that happen before Impact Wrestling on Thursday nights. I think they could flip this back and have Jordan eat the pin. But I'm interested on your thoughts overall in this match, Dan.
Well, I'm not real excited that it's a rematch right away, but that's okay. I can see it definitely getting flipped back to Fire and Flava. Just cause Rachel Ellering just showed up basically. Yeah. So I don't see them holding the titles that long. In fact, I imagine Rachel will take the pin.
So. Really? Okay. Well, I think it does go back to Fire and Flava, and they can just kind of, set this up for the next pay-per-view too, because it doesn't really seem like there's another female tag team that's kind of itching and ready to go right now.
Right.
But the reason why I say Jordynne, they've been talking about Jordynne Grace's confidence and how she couldn't beat Fire and Flava with any tag team partner until Rachel came along. So I'm saying that Jordynne might eat this pin. And then she might feud, she might even give up the tag titles altogether and go feud with Rachel Ellering, which is a match that Floyd and I talked about that we wished would happen, because God, that would be a great match. a lot of big heavy punches thrown in that match when that happens. But anywho, I think we're both thinking Fire and Flava here. Is that right, Dan?
Right.
And we're going to move along so that I don't say Fire and Flava anymore, white anymore. moving on to the X Division title match. This is the match that I have circled on this card, Dan. Josh Alexander, the X Division champion, taking on El Phantasmo.
Yeah, this match is probably my most anticipated match of the show. I really like Josh Alexander. He's, we talked about it last time I was on, how he... And, he's felt like he's had to step up, now he's not in the tag team anymore with Ethan Page. And I feel like he's really stepped up. And then, of course, El Phantasmo, I'm already a big fan of his. He's a great heel. I mean, the guy is just, he's got a punchable face, punchable attitude. He straddles, not to make a joke of him like tight roping, but he straddles the line. He from does. Like soup, like heel that you love to hate, and like oh my God, just get to like the man who should not be named, that kind of heat. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. I hope they give them like plenty of time to go, because these guys can really, I think they have the opportunity to steal the show.
I'm hoping they get 15, Dan. That seems about right, a number that for that Impact could give them for not main eventing. But I noticed you didn't make a pick, Dan. I know this is a tough one to choose. And and you like, I know your affinity for headgear is going to influence your decision some here.
I do love the headgear, but I think El Fantasma is going to win it. That seems to be kind of what they're doing. And, you know, speaking meta here, but like it seems like they just want to give away their titles to people from other companies because it gets eyeballs on their company.
Yeah.
It might make them look weak or whatever, but like, their bank's not looking weak.
Right, exactly. This is, I mean, Impact, that, you know, Apex Suplex is starting to become a show that needs to merge with KISS or something at some point. Of course, keeping a strong style of the flagship. Ace of Podcasts on the Social Suplex Podcast Network that covers New Japan Pro Wrestling. Because there's going to be half of their belts eaten up by New Japan talent, Dan. I think El Fantasma was brought in specifically to elevate the X division. In addition to, you know, getting him some reps, maybe, you know, getting some, you know, buddy with, you know, New Japan. You know, unfortunately, it doesn't look like Blue Justice is going to, you know, make a stop at Impact. We found that after he was done with his AEW match, he's already headed back to Japan. But yeah, I love Josh Alexander, and I hate that potentially they could be taking it off of him this quick. But when the New Japan guys go back, I think Josh is a guy that you can build the X division around easily. And I think he's a guy that you can put into the title picture for the Impact Heavyweight World Championship. So, you know, sky's the limit for Josh Alexander. But I think El Fantasma wins this one going away. Moving right along. Knockouts title match. Deonna Purrazzo defends against Havoc. I don't know why I said it that way, Dan, but that's where we're at tonight.
Yeah. I'm like on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 4 on this right now. Like I don't really have a whole lot of expectations for it. I don't know. I haven't really seen the chemistry between the two of them, but we are going to see a pile driver. Now I don't know which one's taking it or who is giving it, you know, it might even be somebody from outside, but I'm predicting pile drivers.
Yeah, I don't want to see Deonna Purrazzo try to give Havoc a pile driver, especially a Gotch style pile driver. I just don't want to see her even attempt it. I think Deonna wins this match with the Venus de Milo, of course the double Fujiwara armbar. Havoc is not. I don't think she's at a point in her career where, with all these eyes on the company, that you're going to put that belt on her. I feel like this is going to, we're going to build over the summer to Slammiversary, and Taylor Wilde's going to probably take it off of Purrazzo, because she's, you know, a veteran that I don't think is too much of an old that you can put her on there and you can, you know, run her as the champ. So that's where I think this is going. So I'm going to say Deonna retains. And I'm not thinking that this one gives more than 6 minutes. Where it's at on the card too. It almost feels treated as it's going to feel treated, Dan, as a kind of, you know, what we used to call popcorn matches.
Right.
That's perhaps unfair to those women. But I can't see them putting this more than 6 minutes. It looks like Impact is going to try and book this as kind of a double main event. We'll talk about the number one contenders match first, since that seems like we should talk about those guys before we talk about the Impact champion, because it just feels like a pecking order thing to me, Dan. But we have the six-way number one contenders match between Chris Sabin, Chris Bay, Sami Callihan, Matt Cardona, Trey Miguel, and, of course, Moose. This match, Dan, could be really awesome. I hope it gets time to breathe. I hope all of these guys get the opportunity to show what they can still do, you know, or currently do and are going to do. You got some upstart young talents in Chris Bay and Trey Miguel. You got some, we got some olds on deck here, Dan. with Matt Cardona, Sammy Callahan, Moose, and Chris Sabin. Sabin, to me, feels like a guy that's not – I don't think he's winning this match. I feel like he's kind of been kind of relegated to the tag team division. I think Chris Bay, Trey Miguel, and Moose are your kind of odds-on guys that could challenge for this. I think Moose is going to win. I don't think he's going to win the title from Kenny at some point this summer, which I assume is going to happen at Slammiversary. I don't think he takes it off of Kenny, but I think Moose wins this. And then, you know, come July, we'll see him take on Kenny Omega, which is to me the money match that everyone wants to see. But I don't know. Stranger things have happened, Dan. What do you got here?
This is going to be a good match. All these guys have shown me they can do interesting things around the ring, especially multi-man matches. Who do I want to win? I would like to see Chris Bay or Trey Miguel, because those are the matches against Kenny Omega I would want to see the most.
Yeah.
The one I would want to see least, take a guess.
Matt Cardona.
No, Sammy Callahan.
He's really? You'd rather see Matt Cardona versus Kenny Omega than Sammy Callahan versus Kenny Omega?
Would you not want to see Matt Cardona take a one-winged angel and some V-triggers?
I would be worried that Matt would literally break his neck taking a one-winged angel.
But I think, just like you, I think Moose is going to win. I think that's the match that I wanted to see when they had the multi-man match before he fought against Rich Swann.
Right.
But they went with, you know, Swann, obviously. But, yeah, I think if you've been following Moose on Twitter, you've seen, man, the transformation that he's done with himself. Like, he's like, you know, you can tell when, like, Tanahashi's getting ready for Wrestle Kingdom or the guys are building up to WrestleMania. It's like, you know, everybody's on their, let's quote unquote, say best behavior in the gym.
Yes.
But they get exactly. ripped more than ever.
Yeah.
And that's the way Moose seems to me right now. Like, he's gearing up for something big. And this could be huge.
Yeah. This could be too. Like, you know, there's rumors swirling about his contract situation. That he's not going to stay with Impact when his contract expires. So that all plays into it too. And unfortunately, that's part of this post-kayfabe world that we live in, where we have to speculate based on contracts and things like that. I think he probably gets this, you know, he probably gets this Kenny Omega title match on the way out. I think he loses to Kenny if he wins this. I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it. The right move is to build an Impact star out of beating Kenny Omega. That's the only way to do it, in my opinion, to make it worth having Kenny come here, other than the obvious financial success that they've had from having Kenny on the programming. I think that he can make someone, if they go out and have a 5-star match and they beat Kenny Omega for the Impact title, I think that's what you shoot for. That's what you aim for. And I think you got to do it with one of your younger kind of upstart guys like a Chris Bay or a Trey Miguel. I think Chris Bay probably gives him the best match, but I think that comes later. I still think that against all odds, we're probably going to see like an Eddie Edwards 1v1 with Kenny Omega. Just because I think Eddie's owed that by Impact. That's kind of where I stand on that. But we'll see how it goes. But I think we're both kind of in agreement here. Moose is the guy. I think he probably gets the title shot at Slammiversary. I think probably Eddie will get it next month against all odds. That's where I'm going with that. And speaking of Eddie Edwards, Dan, the other main event, of course, of Under Siege is the 6-man tag team match between Kenny Omega, the Impact AEW and AAA Mania champion, and the Good Brothers taking on the team of Eddie Edwards and Finn Juice, the Impact tag team champions. It's kind of an odd pairing putting Finn Juice with Eddie, but like we mentioned, Eddie is kind of gatekeeper for Impact Wrestling and here in 2021. He's kind of the guy that's synonymous with Impact Wrestling, right alongside guys like Rhino and Tommy Dreamer, who of course sent me a message once on Twitter. You know, I feel like Kenny Omega is probably going to come out on top. But they've also kind of built in this thing that like the Good Brothers can lose. So it's possible that one of them eats a pin, probably Doc Gallows. If I had to guess, one of them was going to eat a pin. And I don't know who on the Impact side you have eat the pin other than Eddie Edwards. I don't think you have one of the Finjuice guys take it. So I could see a situation where Kenny hits Eddie with a one-winged angel, and that sparks, you know, the next month of promos and things like that. But I'm going to say Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers win this one, Dan.
I'm going to say the same thing. I think they're going to put Kenny over this time. They're trying to, you know, push everything towards him that matters, it seems like. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but I don't, like you said, I don't know. I'm going to say Kenny pins Eddie just to set something up for, you know, farther down the road. I don't foresee either, you know, Juice or Finlay taking the pin here. So,
yeah, and they don't have any reason to, because like they're booking the tag title match away from the Good Brothers, right? We have a number one contender match for the tag division. And neither of those guys, I don't see Impact ever putting a New Japan guy wrestling Kenny for their tag for their overall championship. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Unless Kenny really doesn't want to lose to an Impact guy, but I don't get that vibe from him at all. So I think that it has to be Eddie taking the pin, and it has to be Eddie wrestling him at Against All Odds.
Right.
So that I to me, that makes the most sense, but we'll see what happens. I mean, they could just say, okay, well, Eddie got his match against Kenny in the sixth man and then call it a day. But I think they need to treat him a little better like that. I mean, like we always, like our friend James from One Nation Radio always says, find you someone the way that loves you the way that Eddie Edwards loves Impact Wrestling. So, but that is, of course, our preview for Under Siege. We will be back, you know, of course, next week with our review of Under Siege and perhaps some of the fallout. I don't know that we'll do a full results recap because a lot of times the show after the pay-per-views are a little bit, you know, repetitive of what happened. And of course, we'll be back with edition 3 of Omega Watch. I like that segment, Dan. I think we're going to stick with it.
It's fine.
All right. So
you know what it means when you say it, that's good.
Right. Yeah. You know, well, hopefully, Dan's not a part of it next week then, since he doesn't like it. But no, I kid. Of course I kid. Thank you as always, Dan, for coming on, especially last minute. You got anything you want to throw out there?
You can follow me on Twitter at @Coffin_Dan. Simpsons memes, you know, dunking on politicians. Nothing real groundbreaking or super interesting.
Yeah. But
I retweet like puppy tweets every once in a while just for fun. So,
yep.
That's it. I don't have anything to plug. Buy it except for the Olds on Top shirt. Go get that.
You've been on enough episodes, Dan. I feel like you should be plugging 8-Bit Suplex sometimes. But you know what? I'll go ahead and do that right now. Follow us on Twitter at 8-Bit Suplex. Of course, buy our t-shirt on. And all of your favorite Social Suplex Podcast Network shows on prowrestlingtees.com/socialsuplex. Make sure that you are following our feed on Apple iPod or Apple Podcasts. Man, I am losing it. Too much White Claw. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow both our individual channel, 8-Bit Suplex, as well as the Social Suplex Podcast Network channel. That's where you can find all of the other shows. Maybe you find something else that you like and you want to download that show as well. Shows like, of course, the Ace of Podcast, Keeping It Strong Style, One Nation Radio, The Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show, Grave Consequences, Great Match Generator. I always feel like I'm missing one. I don't think I am presently. I think I named them all. Definitely, tune in next week for our kind of review of Under Siege. Maybe we'll be out of siege by then, Dan.
Oh, yeah. We'll be well past the siege at that point. It'll be siege you later.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I said it.
Everybody, enjoy your weekends, and we'll see you next week on the 8-Bit Suplex Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the 8-Buck Suplex Podcast. See you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.